I want you to try and remember an experience that's most likely too far in the ancient past for you to recall. But try to remember when you were about 2 or 3 and you don't yet know how to get dressed. Now, as a parent who currently has a 3-year-old, it's pretty fresh in my memory. But imagine what it's like to be a 2-year-old and your mom pulls all this stuff out of the drawer and she sets them on the bed and it's just this, you know, kind of this pile of material. And you're 2, so you have no idea how these things work. It's just this pile of cloth, and apparently there are holes for different parts of your body. Heads go in one place and arms and legs go in another place. And we take for granted now how much of an accomplishment it was to learn how to get dressed. What's interesting here is that learning to get dressed takes practice. It's not something that comes naturally. It's something that we have to learn how to do. But here, 40 or 50 or 60 years later, most of us have learned quite well because we actually get dressed without even thinking about it. You know, we just kind of roll out of bed, throw on a pair of sweatpants, and go about our morning. We've done it over and over and over again so that something that was sort of, you know, intimidating and foreign to us when we were 2 is now something that we can do without even thinking about it. Well, what is the central metaphor that Paul uses to think about the shape of the Christian life in this Ephesians passage? It is getting dressed. The metaphor is one of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Learning to get dressed took practice as a child, and learning to get dressed spiritually takes practice. And so I propose to you this morning that becoming who we are in Jesus Christ is a gift from God that we must put on through a lifetime of practice. Paul tells us what form this practice is supposed to take by giving us 3 infinitives in this passage, 3 stages. 1, to put off the old self. 2, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And 3, to put on the new self. First, put off the old self. The first thing that one needs to recognize concerning this particular passage is that it is addressed to the believer. In order to put off the old self, it assumes that one has been baptized into Jesus Christ. It assumes that one has trusted in Jesus Christ, and it assumes that God's life now lives in you. And so even though it is assumed that the Ephesians had already put off the old self, as described in verses 17 to 19, when they came to Christ, in verse 22, Paul is exhorting them to a repeated putting off of the old clothes, a repeated putting off of the old style of life. Because even though we have been given new life in Christ, we all know by experience that the old self remains in our lives to one degree or another. We see it in the cravings of our hearts and the ingrained patterns of wrong desires and the behavioral consequences that so often follow them. These patterns of wrong desire, they remain present and at work in the Christian, but they are weeds that can choke the work that God wants to do in our lives. They can choke the word so that nothing grows from the planted seed. It is also through them that the life of this passing age still has a grip on us, still has a hold on us. So God says, put them off. Unclothe yourselves of them. In my experience, this is the hardest work we'll ever do because some of these old habits and desires have become as second nature to us. They die slow. But God calls us to daily work at putting off all these things that pertain to the old self so that there's room for the new self to be put on. Greed, hatred, envy, and pride should daily decrease in our hearts so that the longer and longer we live, the more gentle, patient, meek, and generous we become. How do we do it? Well, the new life and the power of a Christian is chiefly a life of communion. It's one of relationship. It is a shared life with Jesus Christ, and so the immediate object of our struggle is simply to abide in that communion with Him. And now, though abiding may sound deceptively simple and even passive, in reality, it fully engages all of our powers and our capacities. How so? Well, it will consist of saying yes to Christ again and again and again in a culture that is attempting to form us and to form our children in other directions. And it is just so easy to slip into abiding in other things like technology or consumerism or worldly politics, just to name a few, so that we are being more formed by those things instead of Christ. But if we are abiding in Christ by daily trusting in Him, not only to be our Savior from sin and death, but also to be our source of strength and understanding for living life, we can be sure that we're making progress in putting off the old self. Because if we're connected to Him, if we're abiding in Him through prayer, through reading His Word daily, through regularly participating in the life of the church, gathering with God's people regularly, He is going to show us what needs to be put off, and He's going to give us the strength to do it. And so having begun putting off the old self, Paul gives us the second stage, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Sandwiched right between the putting off of the old self and the putting on of the new is that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It is hard to be effectively putting on the new clothing unless our thinking and desires are being renewed day by day. Humankind, as T.S. Eliot once said, cannot bear much reality. Well, the old man cannot bear much reality. That is true. But as the old man is put off little by little, we need to be renewed in reality. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Now, how in the world can we be renewed in the spirit of our minds so that our minds are conformed to the minds of Christ? Well, Scripture is God's spoken word. Therefore, Scripture comes from His mind. Something has to come from your mind before it comes to your lips and before it can be written down on a piece of paper. God's Word is what defines reality as it is, as it should be, and as it will be. So if you want to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, if we want to see things the way that they really are, we need God's mind. We need to put the Scripture into our minds so that we will know His will. How do we do that? Well, Romans 12:2 sounds very familiar to this part of our Ephesians passage. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that by testing you may know what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, this does not mean that we get to a place where we just open up the Bible to a random place and point our finger down and find God's will for that day like it's a magic crystal ball. No, but it does mean that as the collect goes, we read, mark, and inwardly digest God's Word so regularly that we know by nature what His will is in each circumstance. But not only that we know His will mentally, but that His will becomes our delight to the point that through practice, it gets hardwired into our heart and our mind so that we act and we react according to that will. That we come to act in God's will naturally in the often split-second decisions we have to make when reacting to the circumstances that come up in our lives. When we don't have time to open up a Bible and find a verse, it is a transforming of the mind until the will changes to align to God's will. When this occurs, one discerns and acts on God's will with little effort or thought. Because not only do we have the conscious knowledge of the Bible in our brains, but the Spirit has used the Bible to transform our unconscious desires and our affections to align to His will. Let me tell you what I mean. When we go throughout our day, we do not consciously think about what we do. We walk to the kitchen, we go to the fridge, we pull out a jug of milk, all in this kind of automatic mode, while our conscious mind is thinking about other things that have nothing to do with that glass of milk. Perhaps you're thinking about a conversation that you had at work with a colleague yesterday, all the while you're getting this milk. Our way of going through the day is colored or coded with affections or hungers. We have intuitive bodily responses to a red light while driving, to another person who is yawning in front of us, to a boss who's walking towards us with an angry face. And the most significant aspect about how we respond to these situations, it's not necessarily our conscious thought. It's the thought that is slower and takes more effort, the one that articulates judgments and makes choices. No, it's the unconscious thought. It's the hardwired, fast, automatic thought that quickly perceives a situation and reacts in an effectively coded kind of way. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds is to be transformed at both of these layers, the conscious and the unconscious thought, but it will be that part of our thought that is more automatic and acts more quickly that is the most difficult to transform, because we can't just pour knowledge into the brain to make it happen. We need the Spirit of God to water the seed of God's Word that has been repeatedly sowed into our minds through practice to bring about the mind's renewal. We need to be repeatedly putting God's Word into our minds because we live in a culture that is actively trying to form our minds in another direction. Our weekly worship here at St. Philip's was designed to be a help to this process. Each Sunday for worship, Anglican churches all over the world use what's called a liturgy, a form of worship from the Book of Common Prayer that was put together at the time of the English Reformation by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer. And what Cranmer wanted people to do with it each week through daily use was really to inhabit the world of the Bible. The whole Book of Common Prayer and Sunday service is filled with Scripture. But it is actually designed to habituate Scripture into our hearts and our minds by incorporating it into repetitive prayers and practices of worship. And what begins to happen through this regular participation in worship each Sunday and throughout the week using the prayer book is that we begin to be restoried, right? Because all of these other things are trying to crowd out technology and consumerism and worldly politics are all trying to shape the narrative arc of who we are. And through this constant availing of ourselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God through the practice of prayer and worship, the true narrative that governs who we are acts to renew our minds. We begin to better see how things really are. The renewal of the mind is a lifelong practice. It takes practice. But when we have begun that process, we're ready to begin the third stage, to put on the new self. First thing to note about the new self is that it is not something that we make or we form through our own discipleship or piety. No, in a similar way that God made garments to clothe Adam and Eve's nakedness and shame in Genesis 3, He creates our new selves as a gift to clothe the nakedness which putting off the old self leaves us with. We do not find the new self, or should I say, the true self within ourselves. That's what our culture says, though, isn't it? It says, just search within yourself. You'll find out who you are. Look within. Follow your hearts. I don't know about you, but when I look within myself, within my heart here, well, let's just say that I hope what I see in there is not my true self. And I sure hope that it's not what I'm supposed to put on and wear for all of eternity. Because when I look in there, I don't often find purity or the holiness or happiness or purpose that seems to go with the new self, the new creation throughout Scripture. Now, when I look within, I often find anxious thoughts, uncertainty of purpose, timidity, and other pieces of the old self. On the worst days, I find complete brokenness, and on others, I suppose, I just find a sense of incompleteness. How about you? Do you find the complete purity that the Bible says will accompany the new self, the new creation, when you look within? Or do you feel a sense of incompleteness, a sense of brokenness when you look within too? Well, God's Word never tells us to find our true selves within there. No, God says, and Paul writes in Colossians 3, that if you are in Christ, you have died, and your true life is now hidden in Christ with God. He says that who we are, our true self, it's found outside of us. It is found at the right hand of God, and it's hidden in the heart and soul of Jesus Christ, to be precise. We will not find our righteousness or our purpose within ourselves. We will only find it when we look away from ourselves to the right hand of God where Jesus Christ is. He is our happiness. He is our satisfaction. He is our wholeness, and He is our joy. And insofar as we follow Him and we abide in Him, the bits and pieces of our old self are disassembled through the daily putting off of the old and reassembled through the putting on of the new true self which we find when looking to Him. And this reconstruction process of tearing down and renovating the old with the new, little by little, it's going on in our lives continually. It's like patchwork. We've got bits and pieces of the new in some areas, and in other areas we're still made up a bit of the old. The goal, though, is to be reworked completely new. It takes practice. But in this life, that identity is never fully achieved, as Colossians 3 says. Our life still remains substantially hidden with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, however, then we also will be revealed with Him in glory. Our new self, who we truly are, is always to some extent a secret. As St. Augustine is so often saying, my heart is a foreign country. It is terra incognito, even from myself, until everything hidden is revealed in Jesus Christ in the age to come. And so at no point in my life can I regard the present state of myself as final, however much it may have been transformed through a life of discipleship. This very day, I may find that one whole wing of my building has all along been scheduled for demolition and renovation by the divine architect. And that particular wing of my life is a part of myself that I've, you know, really grown quite fond of. And I think, God, you know, I think that's a good part of me. I think that should probably stay. But when this kind of thing happens to us, it can be kind of disconcerting. But we can know that what's happening is that we're being remade into the image and likeness of Christ by this putting off of the old and this putting on of the new, this process. I've found in my own life that what this process, though, often feels like is uncertainty, purposelessness, or pointlessness, or as King Solomon says, vanity of vanities and a striving after the wind. I sometimes wonder what exactly it is that God is up to when He's tearing things down in my life. Do you ever wonder that? And so it is in our experience of being rebuilt in this in-between state when we're losing parts of our old selves that we might not have even realized we depended on, and then something new is built up in its place that doesn't even match all the rest. It can feel painful and fearful and uncertain and pointless. And we're often tempted to try and hold on to those pieces of the old self, the old man, that have become so comfortable to us because we don't really know what we'll do without them. But you know, in only 15 years since I became a Christian and started practicing this putting off and putting on for myself, you know, I wake up some days and I am just so amazed at the way that God has just totally reworked some of my desires and habits little by little. I want to obey God's word now. And when I fail, I at least want to obey God's word. Now if I could only get myself to want instead of just want to eat healthy. The other day, the priests of St. Philip's were at a restaurant together, and my elders noticed that I did the quintessential millennial thing of taking a picture of my food. So they ragged on me a little bit, but little did they know, it was not so that I could post it to social media. There was nothing photogenic about my food, it was a salad. But I did it to prove to my wife that I ate a salad when there were much more desirable choices on the menu. At least I want to eat healthy. Something has changed. But in these little glimpses of transformed desires, even at the wanting-to-want level, it's there even that we can see God has already started making us new through this process of putting off and putting on. And it is encouraging, every little bit. But I won't lie to you. There is no guarantee that anything we know and experience about ourselves will be untouched by this process of reconstruction. In fact, when we are revealed with Christ in glory, it seems safe to assume that no one will be as surprised as we are at what God was up to here. It is only then that we will be let in on the secret. It is only then that we will see exactly what was taking shape within us here during all of that racket of hammering and sawing that was so often hidden by the clouds of sawdust and plaster. We are called to trust that the God who took our suffering all the way to death and hell has been, He is, and He will make us into something that if we saw it now, we would, as C.S. Lewis said, be tempted to fall down and worship. It's what I find most encouraging about this whole often painful, difficult process of putting off the old self and putting on the new. That even though it sometimes looks and it feels futile, the God who loves me is the providential architect who is guiding and directing the whole transformation process. The first thing, and I'll end with this, but the first thing that I look for when someone comes to me to meet for pastoral counseling is whether they have communion, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if they do, oh, what a sweet comfort I take in that, because I know that no matter what happens in the counseling, no matter the fact that they've got a whole lot of putting off the old, a whole lot of renewing their minds and reality in the Word of God, a whole lot of putting on the new ahead of them, even so, the divine architect is at work in their life. The work that He has done, that He's begun in them, He's going to bring to completion. And if you have come into a trusting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rest in that too. So that even when it feels like, you know, you're just taking 5 steps forward and 10 steps backward and 7 steps forward and 8 steps backward, you just keep practicing putting off the old clothes and putting on the new. Because becoming who we are in Christ is a gift from God that we must put on through a lifetime of practice. And one day, in the midst of your dressing practice, I trust that you'll awake dumbfounded. But somehow, some way, clothed in immortality. Amen.